Brett, can you come and contain yourself and take about 2 or 3 minutes and share what you saw? You notice that word contain himself first. Okay. You got no choice.
It was glorious. I've walked a long time with a lot of these guys, and this was the greatest expression of unity, the greatest expression of God's love among each other that I've ever seen. And God handled his business, and the Holy Spirit fell, and you couldn't stand in the room. And one day, everybody prayed for the bishops, and the next day, all the bishops prayed for the other clergy. And I came away from there knowing that I know that I know that I know that I'm in the middle of where God's called me to be. And that he has a plan, and that he's going to get it done. It ain't about me. It was glorious. It was just a cloud in the room. And I can't say more than that. I don't know.
That's good. I wanted Brett to share just so you wouldn't think it was just a subjective experience that I had. But Tuesday we gathered, and Brett Crompton from New York shared. He had been to Asbury, traveled all the way down, spent time at Asbury, and just shared his experience, shared what was happening in his church. And then Tuesday, we just talked about who we were. We talked about, as a church that was built for, hardwired for revival, that was collectively owned for this communion, and called the CEC, the Holy Spirit just fell. I don't know how else to say it. That sounds like bad theology, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, but he can live in us because he's God and fall on us and all that same time. But he fell. And it was just glory. One of the things that I was reminded of, even when we went up to Lee University a few weeks ago and saw, is that people keep thinking that the key to walking in what God's doing is repentance. And that's not what's happening at all. The repentance is coming after the Holy Spirit falls. It's the glory first. It's the encounter. And then it's the repentance. Because any repentance that comes before the encounter is kind of a contrived repentance and another form of manipulation. That's true even in your own time with the Lord. When I have encounters with God, when the Lord shows me something and I have an encounter with him and the glory kind of hits you in the face, you find yourself getting gut honest with the Lord about things, and you're not hesitant to do it. Isn't it interesting? Like in the glory, you're not sure you're going to kill you, but you feel safer than you've ever been to be honest with him in the glory. And so as the glory fell, there was just a lot of honesty and transparency and ownership and casting away excuses, and it was just pretty amazing, to the point where we had business that had to be done too, but it was hard to do the business because it just seemed like the business would take care of itself if we just, but it was really powerful. That's one of these, just share that report. Again, I wept the whole day, the next day on Thursday. And because, you know, I have a number of assignments in the Lord, but in terms of that assignment, that involves the CEC in a governmental way, on a higher level. I've lived to see this day that we would recapture, re-embrace, re-own our vision, the purpose for our existence. And the purpose of our existence is that we felt, as we looked when the CEC first started, you've heard me say this before, is that as we looked out church history, there was a charismatic stream You know, Psalm 46 says, "There's a river whose streams, plural, make glad or whole the city of God, which is the church." And the early church in the book of Acts, they preached the word. People were born again. That's the evangelical stream. They were charismatics. The gifts of the Spirit flowed. People were healed. Things just happened. That's the charismatic stream. But they also, their worship revolved around sacramental reality. Eucharist is the centerpiece because it was the cross made present. The finished work, the thing that changed everything, made present. Kind of like the Passover meal for the Jew. And wherever in the early church had just flowed in this river, the anointing. And so the vision was, if we could bring those three streams together again, then we could be in the river again. And the river, the anointing, not just a stream or a trickle, but the river. And that's always been the vision. And the river flowed. The river fell down from heaven, and we just swam in it. So I'm just very grateful for that. Lord's been doing something, stuff here pretty amazing since Mother's Day. So shouldn't that be a new thing to us? God fell on this group on Mother's Day and made some offers. But this is what I encourage you in. And this is a real short word. This is Exodus 17, when the people were thirsting, and there was this weird rock that kept following them everywhere they went. That's what it says in Scripture. There's this rock, pretty big rock, and everywhere they went, they would camp out at a different place each night. The rock was there. Of course, we know from 1 Corinthians 10 that rock was Jesus. And the Lord told Moses, he said, in Exodus, he said, for him to strike the rock. And if he'd strike the rock, a river of water would flow. The Holy Spirit would flow. And then in Numbers chapter 20, he told him, so this gives us two parts of the story. It's the same story, but it adds a different twist. He said, take the rod, which was the expression of faith. You and your brothers and Aaron assemble the congregations and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it may yield water. Verse 11 says, lifted up his hand, he struck the rock twice with his rod. Water came forth abundantly, and the congregations and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me, treat me as holy in the midst of the sons of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. There were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them. Now here's Moses. The scripture says about him that he was the most humble man in the whole world. And yet, he did what God said to do, and God said, because you've not believed me, because you've not treated me as holy among the people, you can't enter in. And he didn't. Well, what did he do wrong? God told him to speak to the rock, strike the rock and speak to it. But Moses struck the rock twice. What does that mean? He was trying to make it happen. And that was treating God as if God needed his help. Ezekiel 44 talks about God doesn't want us to do anything, wear anything, as we ask, we're all priests, minister before him, that would make us sweat. No wool, everything had to be linen. God doesn't need our sweat. So I just encourage you that, we said this when we came back from going to Lee University, and that we're not really going to try to do anything. We're just going to trust. The people were desperate for water. The provision was there, the rock. He said, all I need you to do is believe, Moses, but I don't need your help. And we do that all the time when we try to repent enough, or in other words, this is not going to work because some guy in a skinny jean hypes stuff up. I mean, it could happen with guys in the skinny jean. They get to lose some stuff. God doesn't need our hype. He doesn't need our manipulation. He doesn't need our charismatic goofiness to try to make things work or say let work. He doesn't need any formula. He's just looking for people who are genuinely desperate. That's what he said. And that if they'll just trust him. You don't have to strike the rock twice. You don't have to beat people up over the internet. You don't have to force them into repentance or make them feel guilty enough. We just want the river to flow. And it's interesting that it's a full people that repents, not an empty people. When the glory fills you, you find yourself wanting to let go of anything because it doesn't mean anything anymore. You realize that you possess all things, and if you possess all things, nobody else has something, whether it's a thing or approval of you. They don't have anything you have to have. They can't withhold from you something that will cost you anything. They can't take anything from you that matters because you possess all things. So you're just free to love them. So I just really want to encourage you. If you're going to repent of anything before, just repent of trying to try. God won't be manipulated. Okay? Remember what the Lord said? He told us early on, this is a different kind of move. The Lord told me, I need to post this word, but is that people have an encounter to experience a breakthrough. But God said, this isn't some kind of like greater anointing and healing or victory in this area. But the Lord said, this is going to be an encounter that brings a breakthrough into a place called encounter, where you live from glory to glory in just resting faith. So if you're trying to strike the rock twice, say it enough, confess it enough, decree it enough, declare it enough, stop it. God wants us to receive it, not achieve it. He's achieved this for us. He's released something on the earth that's always been there. The rock's always been there. It's always followed. Jesus is just pouring out. And he just wants us to believe. Then don't try. Even the kind of worship that's happening is sort of effortless adoration. Amen.